everyone.
Hello, welcome back.
Wow, she's coming back with her angel voice.
Welcome back to a new episode of Conversations with Friends, people.
Oh my God.
We hope you're well and that you're doing good. How are you, Teresa?
I'm doing very well. This is the second episode we're recording. We just had a beautiful interview with a beautiful lady that we'll tell you about. And I feel very inspired and just, you know.
Me too, actually. I'm really flowing.
Just flowing.
In my thoughts.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm just good. It's Sunday. Just with my girl.
My own girl.
No complaints. I'm not really looking forward to Monday, but
tomorrow. Oh yeah.
It's fine. Every day is a good day.
I'm not looking forward to this week either, but it's okay.
Oh yeah, you have surgery.
On Thursday. I'm like really scared.
Nah, it's gonna be fine.
It's gonna be all right. But anyways, guys, before we start this episode, you know what's gonna happen now, Teresa.
What's waiting?
What's waiting for you in the corner? The gems of the week. So would you like to start?
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about this today because we had to do two because we recorded two episodes.
Thank you for the explanation.
Yes, I needed to do that. I don't know why. Anyways, but mine's actually a podcast.
Oh.
Funnily enough, because I discovered a podcast by Emily Radakowski.
Okay.
Everyone calls it Emrata, but yeah, her name's Emily Radakowski. I think people know her. She has a podcast and I read her book, which is, what is it called again? My Body, I think. Yeah. And I never really knew anything about her. I never really cared about her. I feel like I always kind of had like a misconception about her anyways, because the misconception of like, she's pretty, she went like viral because she's a model. So like, she must not be that smart, which is my own thing. Like, it's really sad that I thought that, but reading her book, it really showed me that no, she actually is like really well-spoken and has a lot of ideas and a lot of things to share. And like, you don't have to share every idea or like thing that she puts out there, but she is very good at what she does, like writing and like talking. And she's an inspiring woman, which I never thought she would inspire me, but she is from what she has to say, actually. And yeah, she has a podcast. I think she started it like not that long ago, like 6 months ago, maybe. And I stumbled upon it and I was like, oh, okay, she has a podcast. Like, what is it about? And it's just like an interview podcast, basically. But also, like, she interviews interesting people that she thinks are interesting. But then also she gets her listeners on, she has questions, or she, for example, like, discusses the interview episode she had with a person. Like, when they talk about, like, a specific topic, she then has her own, like, single episode where she discusses it. And, like, so, yeah, she has solo episodes, but also interview, kind of like us, like, solo episodes and then interview episodes. And she has really interesting guests on. And I don't know, I think she's just really good at what she does because she gets different perspectives on. And she also always says at the beginning, like, I don't necessarily share this perspective, but she thinks it's important to give people a voice and share different perspectives and different angles of lives from people that I think are really interesting. And I really like her approach. I really like how the podcast is set up. I like the guests that she has on. I think it's very diverse from what she has so far, obviously just started. But yeah, I just really like the podcast. And every time I like go back, I don't listen to every single episode, but every time I go on there, I'm like, I learn something new. And yeah, I just like that podcast. So if you want to listen to a new podcast, the Emrata, I don't know what it's called. I think it's Emrata. No, it's High Low. It's called High Low by Emrata.
Okay. You were like, Emrata? High Low, High Low.
Yeah, no, I was just like, what is the name of the podcast? But yeah, it's a good one.
Sounds cool. I'll
At
check
least
it out.
In my opinion, I think. Yeah. The one with Julia Fox is really good.
Oh my God.
Because I also
I
just
did
love,
it myself.
No, I also just love Julia Fox. Like,
me too.
She's just hilarious. And she actually has a lot to share as well. Like
Julia?
Yeah, she has a lot of like, she's very like smart. Like if you listen to podcasts with her, she very also reflective and like, I don't know, she says like funny, hilarious shit. Like, I don't think you should take it too seriously sometimes, but sometimes she says stuff and I was like, it's hilarious, but like also, yes, you are right. Anyways, what's your gem of the week?
Oh my God. Now it's me back again with the natural remedies. No, but what I've rediscovered for myself again, I always do that. I always forget about it. And then what?
I'm just like, okay, what
it's
are you?
It's not celery juice.
Okay.
Picking that.
Good.
No, it's propolis. Propolis. I don't know how you spell it, how you pronounce it in English. Mm. It's like propolis in German.
Yeah.
But it's actually from like, like it's a bee extract thing. I can't really explain exactly what it is and I don't want to say anything wrong, but it's propolis and I get it as a tincture. And it basically, like, you can just drop it into like water or juice or whatever. And it's just, it's like, they call it the natural antibiotic. It's okay. So powerful, so good for your body. It's like antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial. It's super good. And you can, like, because I was sick this past few weeks and I was drinking it a lot and also gargling with it for my throat. It kind of, like, speeds up the process of like wound healing and stuff. So it was really good for my sore throat, for my cough, and just in general, really good for your well-being. So thanks to the bees. Power to the bees. No, but propolis is like really, really good. It tastes a bit weird and looks a bit weird.
Yeah,
but
I came in and I was like, what are you drinking this time, girl?
Are you drinking piss?
Because you always drink like random stuff, I feel like. You always like, not random stuff. It's good that you drink.
That sounds kind of wrong. But okay.
No, but like, I feel like you always have like, you give me a lot of drink inspiration. Like I just drink water and
drink
coffee.
Drink
and tea. And you're always like, I drink.
I'm your drinkation.
I drink this vitamin D, propolis. I'm like, whoa! Like I didn't even know that you can drink so many different things.
You didn't even listen to my joke, Teresa. I'm your drinkation. Oh. I'm your drink inspiration. Okay. Anyways, guys. So before I start talking more like this, Teresa and I today we have a very, very special guest on.
As always.
As always, yes. Another very special guest. And so basically the overall topic is like kind of intuitive eating. We go into like the eating and wellness industry, but our guest today is Kiki Athanas, and she's an intuitive eating coach and basically focuses on helping women overcome emotional eating, also debunks like diet culture, and to basically like develop a healthy and balanced relationship with food. That's kind of the goal. Yeah. And she also invented the an integration method, which is the gut-brain integration method. A very long name. And she's also going to tell us all about it in this episode.
Yeah, and she also helped hundreds of women to free themselves from nonstop thinking about food as a job, as a coach, and also, yeah, just to turn them into naturally balanced women and, like, what it means to be balanced, mm-hmm. what it means to be intuitive and all of those things that I think every woman at one point needs to hear in their life. And yeah, we will discuss disordered eating as well in this episode. So please be aware of that. Be aware of the triggers. If this is triggering you, not a topic for you, yeah, just be aware of it. Maybe listen to another episode of us or come back at a point where it won't trigger you. Just wanted to give this warning out there. And yeah, if you love this episode as much as we do, please don't forget to follow the pod, share it with a friend, and obviously also check out Kiki's page. She's really amazing and inspiring, and we really did learn a lot from this episode, and I'm excited for everyone to listen.
Enjoy!
Bye!
Hello, hello!
Hello, Kiki. How are you going?
I'm doing super good. I'm excited to be chatting with you lovely ladies.
How has your weekend been?
Been amazing. Last night I actually went out and ooh. I never really go out, so I got like my one going out of the year already in, and it's not even the end of day.
How are you feeling? Are you hungover?
No. I don't drink actually. So hungover is just feeling super like kind of almost achy in my body. Just lack of sleep. But with all that said, I'm very excited to be here and feeling bright and perky at the same time.
I was just about to say, you look so fresh.
I was like, if she's hungover and looking like this, I don't know what to do with myself.
I really have one kombucha, so I'm not sure that would be considered hungover, but you know.
I swear, sometimes I said that the other day, I was like, sometimes I drink kombucha. And I think maybe it's because it's fuzzy or something, but sometimes I feel like I'm a little tipsy.
But there's alcohol, like a very small alcohol because of the fermentation.
Very small, yeah. And maybe I think when you're around drunk people, I become a little drunk.
You know, it's like contact drunk, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like,
that's kind of nice though. Yeah, I feel like I drink kombucha sometimes. I'm like, I'm alive, I'm going. But yeah, that's... It's also funny because it's like daytime for you, so your day is just about to start, and we're just like having a day behind us. But behind us.
Wait, what time is it again where you are?
It is 9:10 a.m. right now.
Oh my god! Wow, that's pretty early. I'm here. It's almost the end of the day.
Yeah. Anyways, just give the listeners a little introduction in who you are and where you're here.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, my name is Kiki, and I am an intuitive eating coach or emotional eating coach. Essentially, I work with women who are struggling with various food issues. Technically, I would call it that they're struggling with some form of disordered eating, but I say that with the caveat of most women don't resonate with that term. And I know that even now looking back, I feel like, yes, I definitely had disordered eating, but I never thought that, you know, I have an eating disorder. So essentially I just say, you know, I help women dealing with various forms of food issues. And it was really all inspired by my journey, which I'm sure that we'll talk a little bit about. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I do now virtually as I kind of travel around the world. Not really, like a couple of weeks, but you know, I like to sound more cultural than I am.
I mean, you kind of are. You just told us you're from Toronto, you live in Mexico City, you go to Europe in the summer. I feel like for a lot of people that is already traveling a little bit, you know?
Perfect. Yeah.
Let's go with that. But you already mentioned your journey, like your job kind of aligns with your own journey. So maybe just tell us how you became an intuitive eating coach and what exactly you do.
Yes. So I was always in the wellness world. Well, ever since I graduated university, it was the first time that I left home and lived alone. And I think for a lot of young women like myself, when we kind of start taking more control of how we're eating, how we're exercising, all of those things, it can become this really beautiful journey of like, oh my goodness, I feel so good. And I'm going to go to the grocery store and get healthy foods. And I started working out. And so I kind of created this identity for myself around, oh, I'm like super healthy. Of course, you start getting the social validation of like, oh my God, Kiki, you're looking great. I was never like a fat kid. Not that I hate that. I mean, I hate that word, but I was always big boned, so to speak. And when I was going through puberty, I was a little bit on the, you know, podgy side. And so when I went to university, I remember I slimmed down and just got so much positive feedback from everyone that I was like, okay, perfect. Especially at that young age, that's all you want, right? All you want is someone to be like, you're good, right? And so this sort of healthy lifestyle that I was creating for myself really gave me that. And so I went into the wellness world thinking, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to help other people, you know, feel better. And so I had various random sort of positions, all in the wellness space, from doing, you know, I would do like kombucha workshops and I would go on breakfast television, which is something that was in Toronto, and talk about, you know, different brands, different restaurants, like smoothie bowls. And I was just literally like the poster child for wellness. Yeah. And it was wonderful until it really started to consume me. And it's interesting that verbiage, right? It's like food started to consume my life versus, fuel it. And it was a slippery slope into me just always thinking about eating, always thinking about what I should be eating, what I shouldn't be eating, when I should be eating, when I shouldn't be eating. And, on the outside, everyone was just like, oh my goodness, Kiki, like teach me your ways. You're so healthy. But on the inside, I started to notice that, like, I think something might be wrong. Like, I'm not actually even enjoying life anymore. I just feel like everything is a means to an end. And I struggled for quite a few years, but to be honest, like on the outside, I was slim. I looked healthy. So I was like, okay, like I might have a mild eating disorder, but like everything is going well. So like, who cares? Right. And it wasn't until I started binging and overeating and gaining weight and, struggling with IBS, like different digestive issues, that I was like, okay, actually we need to solve this. I remember when I realized like, oh my goodness, I have so many food rules. All I do is think about food. And yet now I'm overweight. I don't have good digestion. Like, what's the point of all of this? Like, and I can't even eat normal. I remember thinking like, oh my goodness, I should just be that person that can eat the pizza. I mean, like I'm overweight and have digestive issues anyways. Like, and yet I still only eat, you know, kale or whatever was trendy at that moment. And so I tried various forms of, you know, therapy and coaching, and whether it was just talk therapy or I did sort of various mindful eating practices. I was always in kind of the spiritual and conscious awareness world, and so that always drew me in. But for me, mindful eating and you know, even the term intuitive eating, it didn't really work for me or click until I ended up working with this coach, and she introduced me to this method, which now I call the gut-brain integration method, that I've sort of coined as my own. But essentially, it helped me learn how to eat normally. And I don't mean that in an offensive way, but it really, it taught me how to reconnect with my innate hunger and satiety. And it brought me back to how I ate when I was a child, before I thought about what the food was doing to me, how, if it was going to make me fat or unhealthy or anything like that. It really reprogrammed me. And I say reprogrammed versus programmed, because it is innate within us, right? Of just like, oh, you know, when I'm hungry, I'm going to eat something that tastes good to me, and then I'm going to move on with my life. And for people that aren't struggling, they're like, okay, that's awesome. Like, okay, you paid someone to help you do that. But for me at that, like, that was everything. I was like, oh my goodness, like, this is life changing. Like, food no longer is something that, like, consumes my entire life. And so I started sharing it with friends and family, and then they would tell their friends, and then I was like, well, I'm not going to do it for free for everyone. So I sort of, you know, started coaching circles, and then now I coach women both in these groups as well as one-on-one, and it's just been so rewarding. And I continue to learn, you know, so much about, you know, my particular story is obviously particular to me, but it's so interesting to see it applied with women in all walks of life, and in coming from different perspectives of, you know, I've used the method on women that they're scared of being too skinny, like, which I never thought was, I'm like, what? Like,
that exists?
Like, I think it's a connection issue. I'm like, what is it? It's not like... but it just goes to show, like, beauty is subjective, and we have so much, you know, head chatter that gets in the way of connecting to our true needs and wants. And so, you know, whether you resonate with my story or not, if you, as long as you resonate with this idea of sort of, having too much thinking about eating, then I think that, you know, it's a powerful thing to explore.
I think it's also so interesting when you reached out to us, because I was like, I never had an eating disorder like extreme, but I think we said this before we started the podcast, like, I think every girl, even though it's really sad, every girl, I feel like growing up kind of struggles with this, like, kind of disordered thinking about food. And like you said, like, when you're a child, you just don't care that much. You don't think about it. And
it's
then
so crazy though.
Yeah. And then I think it's also because of the internet, you see all these like diets and like videos and like beautiful models and like what I eat in a day and what you should eat. And then there's also like with TikTok, all these trends like that girl and whatever, like there's so many things that arise that you should be doing and that makes you think about food a lot. And I think when I was a teenager, I was really, or even still to this day, I sometimes catch myself where you overthink about what you put in your body. And obviously it's really good to be aware if you put in your body, but I think sometimes we tend to overthink it and like, oh my God, sugar, don't eat this, but eat this. And like, don't eat after 7 p.m. And there's so many rules that you said, food rules to follow. It's just like so just tiring after a while.
It's very constricting as well. Yeah. I think because you're like constantly bombarded and confronted with food on the internet. And I think that's why we... like at least women, they like sometimes all you can think about is food. Like, and also to me, to be honest, I used to dance ballet for a very, very long time. I stopped dancing when I was like, I think 17 or 16. And I remember there was one particular phase in my life where I was like training a lot. I had heaps of classes and I was going to ballet like 6 times a week. And it was just kind of going into this path of like, oh yeah, I maybe want to be a dancer when I'm older. And I remember like my eating habits were, now when I look back at it, I'm like, that was not healthy at all. It was like, I don't know. I was like, catching myself all feeling bad for eating chocolate. And then I was like, oh yeah, like the next day I'll just, I don't know, do another workout before ballet class or something. And I was actually like that kind of like that mindset is so toxic, but I didn't realize it at that time because I was just so, I don't know, I was just so busy. My mind was somewhere else. And just with ballet itself, like all you have is your body basically. So it's like, and also you're kind of surrounded with like toxic people sometimes as well. Yeah.
Focuses a lot on like people have to lift body you up image. As well. Yeah, so yeah, you kind of have to, you know, it's like a very slippery slope.
So now when I look back at it, I'm like, fuck, that was actually not healthy. And I was losing a lot of weight and my family was like, Carol, like you need to, I don't know. And now when I look at it, I'm like, oh my God, but I'm finally on a better path like now, obviously. But I think it's super crazy. And that was actually at the same time where kind of this like whole, the whole trend was like getting out like the Fitspo healthy, like people kept posting their like smoothie bowls and like Alexis Ren was like super popular as well. And I was following her on Instagram, like nothing against her. She's beautiful. But for me at that point, it was super toxic to follow all those like models and skinny like people. Cause at that time I didn't have any idea about like Photoshop or like any sort of stuff. So what I was confronted with and what I was consuming, I thought it was real. And I was like, oh, I want to be like that. I want to look like that. And that really, I think that really influenced me at that time. But you were already saying like, you're obviously an intuitive eating coach, but what would you say is your definition of intuitive? Like, what is it for you?
Yeah. So I think for me, it's really, it's going to sound anticlimactic, but it's essentially just really tapping into the visceral sensations in your body, and letting that guide the way versus what I call head chatter, right? And so it's interesting because there's technically another language that our body speaks to us with, but it's not in words. And so it's hard to even articulate explaining it. But we all know there's, you know, that gut intuition, right? Or it's like when we're talking to someone or whatever it is, and we're kind of like, ah, this person is weird or whatever, you know, it's the same thing with food, in the sense of like those subtle cues of, you know, hunger can be a little bit, it's not always a subtle cue, but in terms of like what it is that we eat. But you know, hunger is a perfect example of one of those visceral sensations, right? Like you don't have to think about hunger. We have a stomach for a reason, right? We can feel it. And that's what alerts us to, oh, okay, like I'm starting to get hungry. I'm hungry. I'm very hungry. I always say hunger is a slow build. It's not this thing where we're not hungry and then one moment we're like randomly hangry, right? I always call my clients out on that. I'm like, no, like that didn't happen. You were either disconnected from your gut for, you know, a period of time, or you're now really stressed and maybe a little bit hungry. And we're kind of taught to blame everything on food. And it's from, you know, childhood conditioning of, even if you think of, I'm half Greek, and whenever there's a baby crying at any sort of Greek function, like the first thing is obviously like, give her food, right? Like it's everything. And so it makes sense. But getting back to your question, I think it's really, it's this additional sense of, you know, feeling versus thinking and letting that guide the way. And so what does that mean when it's applied for intuitive eating? It means that you are following hunger and you're following taste and you're following satiety. And it's not like a crazy concept, right? If we actually look at, especially, I mean, I know that you ladies are in Europe and I think that they do a better job of it overall. I think, unfortunately, you guys are being a little bit influenced by North America and like the culture of like go, go, go. But you know, it really is. It's a pause. Eating is a pause in life, and it's just that tapping in of, okay, what is it that I feel like? I always say that intuitive eating is really maximizing the abundance of pleasure in your life and in your body, because although we hear about diets as this like bad thing, and I don't like that word diet, but technically, like coming back to, let's say, your ideal weight, whether that's increasing your weight or decreasing, is really just a beautiful, enjoyable experience either way. Because what are you doing? You're maximizing the abundance of pleasure in your body. Because if you're hungry, then food will feel good and that will increase the good feeling inside. And then if you're not, then not eating will feel good, right? And like, and we'll keep it at balance. And so, yeah, I kind of rambled on, but I mean, I guess the short form is just following hunger and taste. And I think hunger for women, they're like, okay, yeah, I get that. Like, teach me your ways. Right. But then when I say taste, they're like, I don't think because we're taught that it's like, oh, if it tastes good, then it must be naughty or like,
oh, I hate that. Or,
you know, and I think that now there's this trend around like, oh, well, like just whole foods or like, oh, well, just like, just eat real food. And it's still diet culture. It's just culture being like greenwashed to not be diet culture. Yes. Right. And so I see it with my clients. They're like, oh no, totally Kiki. Like I get what you're saying. And like, we're on the same page. Definitely. And like, you know, when I wake up and I have my smoothie and I'm blah, 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 and we'll mention like the word like sugar and they'll be like, oh, of course I don't have sugar. Don't worry.
And I'm sugar like, triggers me, you know.
Right? Yeah.
It does trigger me a little bit though, because like sugar is like I've just heard so many bad things about it. Like sugar is bad. Like sugar is horrible. Like you can't have sugar. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's
true.
Yeah. And I say sugar is food, right? Sugar has its place, right? And for the most part, most women are really scared of sugar because of the whole, even if they don't admit it, 9 times out of 10, it's because they're scared that it will make them fat, right? Mm. And I always bring up the example of like, oh, like in France, there are, you know, slim, healthy people that eat a pastry that isn't gluten-free, that isn't sugar-free, that isn't, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, we think that sugar is bad because oftentimes we're eating it when we're stressed, we're overeating it, where there's other factors around sugar that we're then just demonizing sugar as a whole, right? And you know, it's, if you're intuitive eating, are you just going to crave sugar all the time? No, you're occasionally, there's going to be a time that you have some sugar and you're going to have it and then you're going to move on with your life. But yeah, it's just, it's really neutralizing all of those things, because the more, you know, the more that we're like, oh my God, sugar is so bad, the more that we're literally programming our brain to want it. It's just like, I always use the example of like when you're dating or like with men, right? Like if someone says like, oh, he's the best ever. But like you absolutely cannot have him, right? Like obviously
you will want to have him.
Exactly. He looks amazing, right? We're going to stereotype him even if we don't want him. Right. And then there's been times when you like date that guy and you're like, oh, he's actually kind of boring. And it's the same thing with like food, right? Like you're like, oh my God, I can't have the burger. But I was just speaking with a client the other day and she was like, yeah. And I went to this place, it was in Chicago, and it's like, she was like, I didn't even like the burger. It's like, now that I can eat it, I'm like, yeah, sometimes happens.
It's crazy. Yeah. You just keep thinking about food as well. I feel like when I had that time where I was really restricting myself, which was like, when I was like 17 or something as well, that time, I also had like dreams about food sometimes. And I was like dreaming of eating food. And then I woke up and I was like, whoa, that was like,
I
so
want food
wild.
Now.
Yeah.
I think it's the worst when you really like, oh, sometimes I have that, or like used to have that a lot, when you're like, oh, like I really want to have chocolate cake right now or something sweet or something with sugar in it. But then you're like, oh fuck, no, it's bad for me. Like I'm just going to have an apple or something. Or like, I don't know. It's not the same, but it's like, I don't know, restricting yourself with like that is the worst thing. And also funny story. I follow this, this girl or like this, Italian cook on Instagram. Her name's the Pasta Queen.
I follow her too. She's hilarious.
She's so good. And someone actually commented on her picture, like, oh, like how do you, cause she eats a lot, like she's Italian. She eats a lot of pasta and stuff, but someone commented on her picture saying like, how are you not fat? Like, how do you not gain weight? And she like replied to the comment and she was like, it's so like pasta and pizza in our society is so like, how do you say,
demonized
that it's bad for you. But if you cook with organic or like, how do you say, like good ingredients, it won't be bad for you. Like society is telling you. And I think it really made me think. And I think it's really interesting.
And I would even add on that, because I would even say, and I love her, so we're not hating on her, but I would even say that is feeding into diet culture. It's not because, oh, but it's organic, so it's fine. No, that's not why she's not getting fat. It's not because she's eating organic pasta. Maybe she feels better about her, like, maybe the organic pasta is like, I don't know, like making her feel a little bit more energized or whatever it is, because it's perhaps more real. But the reason she's not getting fat on eating pasta is because she's waiting for hunger before she eats. And then she's taking herself to a point of balance, not feeling full. And that's it. You could eat whatever the heck you want. I'm not saying you won't, like, okay, let's say it was just French fries and all you did was eat French fries from, you know, hunger to balance. Yeah, you can eat that. You might feel like kind of crap, right? But you wouldn't be fat. And so, because the body doesn't want excess, it doesn't need excess storage unless you're going into a famine or whatever it is, right? So it has nothing to do with the food in terms of weight. Right? It just doesn't. And it's such a huge myth. And I see it all the time. And it's, you know, and then now there's this culture of like, oh, but it's good food, or oh, but it's whole food. Oh, but it's organic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could eat. Guess what? If she was eating like organic, Reiki blessed, you know, sent from the heavens pasta, but she wasn't hungry and she was then eating it and then taking herself past the point of balance, she would be fat on the organic mm-hmm. pasta. You know what I mean? Or like have additional storage. I hate the word fat, but we're just using it. And so, you know, it's like, again, I mean, I was binging on like organic avocados and all, you know, or even fruit, whatever it is. It's like, if you're overeating, it doesn't matter if it's organic.
I guess also like the whole like deals of like listening to your body, but the whole diet culture kind of is like, trying to like, at the end of the day, it's also just marketing. Like the word clean eating or like all these things are just marketing. It gives them money. Like I think a few years ago it was called clean eating. And I watched a video about that the other day, actually. It was like a few years ago it was clean eating, and like all these like health cookbooks came out that obviously made them money. And now it's the whole like whole foods eating, and like obviously eating food that comes from the earth in a way is like good for you. But like you said, you also have to listen to your body. Like you shouldn't just eat it because you want to eat it. And I think sometimes I also struggle with that, where it's like, oh, it's like 1 p.m. now, I should eat. Like it's my eating time. Like,
or like after nine, you're like, I shouldn't eat now because it's like after 7.
Like listening to outer factors of like, I should eat this, I should eat it this time, instead of actually listening to my body. So I feel like I really struggle with that sometimes, to like be really intuitive. Like I'm trying to, and I think I'm definitely on a good path, but there's definitely a lot of situations where I don't. And I would like to know if you have any tips on how you can actually be more intuitive. Like,
yes. Okay. So the first thing to understand, and then I'll get into the tips, is, and I want to say this because a lot of my clients are like, I lost all intuition around food. They're like, I don't have it. But I think it's because they think that there's going to be this, like, I don't know, magical woman with a wand, like on their shoulder being like, eat this. Right. I'm like, intuition speaks to us in subtle whispers. So if you don't like walk into the kitchen and like have a voice in your head that's like, you know, grab the, I don't know, arugula, that's fine. It's not that you've like lost all intuition around food. It is a subtle, again, like more of a visceral sensation. So first, to kind of give yourself the kindness and give yourself the grace to be like, you know, okay, I'm learning. And then I think the first kind of practical step is to really detox, so to speak, yourself of all of the diet culture as best you can. Whenever I first start working with a client, I'm like, what subscriptions do you have? Who are you following on Instagram? Like, just getting rid of that to start is going to help clear the base. And I'm not saying that you never need to follow them or anything like that. I follow some people that definitely are throwing out diet culture left, right, and center. But now I'm at a place where I'm so confident in my center that I can just simply take it as inspiration. I can take it with a grain of salt. I'm like, okay, that's working, you know, maybe for her, maybe I'd like to try it. And we can get you to that place. But at the beginning, if you feel like you're really, you don't have your center, you know, secure, then I would say, as best you can, remove yourself from all of that influence, because in order to be intuitive, it's about calming the head chatter. And so every time, and it's a practice. So every time you feel the desire, let's say, to eat, right? Like, let's say it's 9:30 and you're like, ooh, I'm hungry, right? And so you have that. It's there. It's not about finding it. It's about getting rid of the thing that comes right after, like half a second after, which is, you can't eat, it's 9:30. Don't be silly. Like, do you know what I mean? Like cockroaches don't eat after 7, like, or like whatever it is. And then so that you can, and the practice is catching that thought and then being like, oh, that's not relevant for me. That's not good information, because we have to bring you back to the truth that, and I always start with this with clients. I'll ask them, if you only ever ate when you were hungry, what you felt like, and then stopped when you felt balanced, do you think that you would be unhealthy or fat? And 9 times out of 10, they'd say, well, actually, no, I wouldn't be, but I can't do that. Like, I'm not doing that, whatever. But I'm like, but does that feel true for you? If I could magically wave a wand and make it so that, you know, you only ever ate when you were hungry and you only ever took yourself to balance, do you believe that you would be relatively healthy and relatively slender? And they're like, yes, I do. And I'm like, okay, that is this true knowing that you can then hold when the head chatter comes up. You can remind yourself, oh, that's not real. Like, my truth is that all I have to do is follow hunger and taste. And it's kind of like this new boundaries. And that's kind of how I'm different, I feel like, than some other intuitive eating coaches that even I've worked with, that were more so like, oh, that doesn't matter. Just love yourself. Like, oh, like Kiki, like, oh, it's about worthiness. Like, all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but I want to be hot. Right. And or I was just like, but I want to be slim, right? And so I felt like they were trying to convince me that, like, but your body doesn't matter, which, you know, I love that, like, some people, you know, like, there's zero disrespect, and I'm not saying everyone needs to be slender. I'm saying that if you want to be slender, you shouldn't be shamed into being like, get over yourself, it's okay, like, it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? If it matters to you, it matters. And the truth of the matter, lots of matters, is that we're not meant to carry excess storage. So there's a reason you feel good feeling light and slender. I'm not saying that we're all meant to be French models, right? We all have different bodies, but ultimately we're not meant to carry excess storage. And so, so again, it's every practice is getting to, every sort of, strengthening that intuitive muscle is really all about catching the head chatter and what I call with my clients non-value-based beliefs. There's non-value-based beliefs operating in the gut. They can be from childhood, like, oh, you know, you have to finish your meal, don't waste your food, right? Or they can be from diet culture, you know, oh, don't eat past 9 p.m. or like, oh, don't, you know, now there's so many, like, oh, you can't combine, you know, like a carb with a fat, that'll make you,
oh my God, you know, so many. Or like,
yeah, sorry, what were you gonna say?
No, it's like, because I was thinking, like, I don't know, I was reading that a lot, like, with every meal you have to have this many grams of protein and this, some veggies, and always veggies with your food. And I'm
don't
like,
watch the TV while you're eating.
And then I'm like, I feel bad. Like, oh, I'm having pasta, but there's no veggies in there. Like, is it bad? Like, should I add some salad? Or like, I hate that so much. It's like, just restricting yourself, like,
makes
yourself
food
again
into bad food, like labeling food as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's bringing you back into your head instead of being in your stomach. And the problem with this is that your head can't get full, right? And so therefore you never stop thinking about it. The stomach gets full, feels balanced, whatever. And then you can move on, right? And move back into your life. But if you're only ever operating from your head, the head doesn't have any cues around fullness. Mm. And that's why we end up always thinking about it. And you mentioned that, you know, you would sometimes even dream about food. And of course, like, an extreme example would be people in starvation, that, you know, in different, you know, in different periods in history where people were, you know, starved or whatever, held captive. And they did studies and tests, I don't know how, but they did the research, they figured it out. It's not my job. But they essentially figured out that these people were, they became so obsessed that all they would do is think about food. They would write about food. They would like talk about food. They would, you know, dream about food. All their thoughts were consumed with food. And so that's the extreme version of, but then if you look at a lot of women right now, that all they want to do is talk about what they're eating, what they're not eating, you know, oh, like what is she eating on Instagram? And like, oh, there's like a new healthy cafe here. And it's like, you've got to catch like, okay, you're in a form of deprivation. You're in a form of starvation. And maybe you're not hungry, but you're depriving yourself of full, complete choice. You're in some form of restriction or deprivation. And that's why you're always thinking about food, because you're not meant to be thinking about food all the time. You're not meant to be thinking about food really ever. You're meant to be, of course, we now live in a society where we do have to think about it in the sense we have to go to the grocery store and sort of plan. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we can't just be like fairies, like, you know, intuitively eating
food
in the garden.
To me.
I swear, right? It's like it's the worst when you go into a supermarket hungry, though. It's like when you want to go do grocery shopping and then you're like, yeah, I'm really hungry and I need food. And you're like,
I get the weirdest stuff.
Yeah, it's like you don't
like
even
the other day
get...
I got marshmallows. I don't even like marshmallows, but I was like, I just want to get them, which I guess in a way it's also good because I was just like, I guess my body was grabbing them. But I was just like, because it's like also, I guess it's also like what you were saying. It's like the planning what you're eating, what should I get for groceries, don't buy anything unhealthy kind of thing as well.
Yeah. And it's good to go into a grocery store, you know, calm, set the intention of, you know, being present and also being curious as to, you know, like, I'm going to, just like with eating, I'm going to eat, you know, what feels good for me and how much. It's the same thing with shopping. Like, you know what, I'm going to get the groceries that call my name, so to speak. And it doesn't have to be a super spiritual, you know, woo-woo experience, but having that essentially just that openness of like, I can have whatever I want to eat here. Because here's the thing, the body wants to be healthy. The body doesn't want, like, you know, you to be overweight or all these things. And so we feel like we need to resist it. And we feel like we have to say, okay, like, not going to go in that aisle and like, not going to do that, not going to do that. But that's just willpower, right? And eventually willpower fades. And so willpower, I remember listening to a podcast recently and he was saying how willpower is it's not a skill, because how can willpower be a skill if the same person can have one level of willpower like in the morning versus at night, right? And so it's not like it's a skill, it's a muscle, and it gets fatigued, right? And so it's normal that sometimes your willpower is going to be stronger versus not. And so you know, again, that's why it's not an effective method for dieting or eating healthy. But if you genuinely, like using the grocery store example, if you walked into the grocery store and the person, I don't know, at the like front of the store was like, you can eat, you can take and buy whatever it is you like, it's all free today, right? What would you do? At the beginning, you'd be like, oh my God, like get all the shopping carts, like all the girls, like let's go, right? And like you'd stock all up. But then if you went the next day and they were like, same deal, it's free, you'd probably do it again. But then the next day you'd be like, you know what? I think I'm just going to get what I need.
Yeah.
Same thing with eating, right? If you genuinely believed that like I can eat whatever the hell I want, whenever the hell I want it, then would you ever overeat? Probably not. If you're dealing with, you know, a history of deprivation, maybe for the first little while, you'd be like, oh my God, really? But eventually, once your body believes you, and once you truly believe that truth, you would only ever eat when it feels good for you, which is when you're hungry. And then you'd never take yourself past this point of balance, because you know that it's like, oh, well, you know, perhaps now, because you have this feeling of like, well, I can't eat past 9 p.m. and now I'm eating and it's 8 p.m. So, you know, maybe I will have an extra couple bites because I'm getting to the cutoff, right? But if you knew that, like, it's okay, as soon as I'm hungry again, I can eat, then you would stop. And that's often like a mantra that I share with clients. If they find that the stop of their eating is difficult, it's like, remember, like, I can eat this exact same thing as soon as I'm hungry again. Not, you know, oh, well, tomorrow for breakfast or blah, 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 or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, you can eat it whenever you want. And therefore you want to have more now. And oftentimes, you know, the answer is no. But it's that, so again, it comes back to the head chatter of, you know, what I can eat at this time, whatever. So yeah.
But oh my God, we were already talking about the like not eating after nine stuff. And there are like just so many more things in the diet culture. And what would you say is your number one misconception that culture or that kind of industry preaches?
Oh, that's such a good question. How could I just pick one?
Yeah, I was like, I already can think of like 10 in my
so
head.
Many. Yeah.
Everything that they preach is like, if it's preached and it's around diet and nutrition, I hate it. Because here's the thing, even like if we want to just go back to science, right? We all have different microbiomes. Like that is actually the most unique thing within us, right? Like they've even shown with twins, right? Why is it that like one twin even fed the exact same diet, whatever, ends up being slimmer or larger, you know, has different health things. And they've traced it back to like the only thing that's different is microbiome. And so, you know, basically to sum it up or to dumb it down, so to speak, there's not one food that's good for everyone. There's not like, if I bring you an apple, right? Like how I digest the apple, how you digest the apple, how you assimilate the nutrients from the apple, all of those things are going to be so unique. So how could we possibly get diet advice or like nutritional advice? Like I find it like insane that there are nutritionists and dietitians. I know that's like super controversial for me to say, but I think I'm like, are you serious? Like, like it's not necessary. Like there's of course a baseline of like, you know, going to the grocery store and like knowing that, you know, it's not even nutrition. It's oftentimes just, you know, there's places in certain countries where there's a level of poverty that they just don't have access to food, right? Like ultimately it's processed, it's whatever. And so I wouldn't even say that it's still not a nutritional knowledge information. It's more of an accessibility problem.
Yeah.
And so because, you know, if they were then put in a place where they could gravitate towards actual food that was available, they would. And so do we need like another nutrition book or any sort of No. It's doing more harm than good because it's putting us in our head and therefore it's taking us out of our feeling. Mm-hmm. And so I think it only ever does more harm than good, like in terms of meal plans, in terms of recommendations. It's just something that eventually you're going to need to deprogram yourself out of, it's just like, why would you ask someone that has a completely different setup to you, like in terms of just, again, like your microbiome, right? Taking that example. And be like, oh, what should I eat? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Are they like God? How would you know? Like only you have access in your stomach. Yeah. And yet we pay these people money. We like, you know what I mean? And like, it makes zero sense. So, but again, that's going to piss people off, but it's my opinion.
No, I think it's like really interesting what you said with the programming, because it's really hard to unlearn that information. Like I think about like calorie counting. I think that's like one of the biggest things that they like, that you like learn once you start to get like into that healthy eating mindset, that like counting calories, and it's like once you know how much calories an apple has or like a bar of chocolate, it's really hard to forget about that. Like just don't like ignore it and like getting that hat shadow out of your head. So like, do you have any tips on like how to just
I'm going to bust the calorie one for you right now. Ready? This is amazing. Okay. So first of all, it's proven they're completely ineffective and wrong. So 9 times out of 10, calories are at least 30 to 40% mislabeled. There's no way for them to actually properly measure calories. So like read the calories on the box. It's like, might as well read like Teen Vogue. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, like this is just something someone said. Like, cool. Like it's not bad. Do you know what I mean? Right. It was like someone was paid a decent wage to like write this up. So calories are, first of all, like the calorie itself is wrong, right? Like, there's no way for it to be right, mm-hmm. right? And, like, science has now proven that in the sense of, like, and if you actually look into the research, they're basically admitting, okay, like, we can't really know calories. Other thing, it's impossible for us to, like, we burn calories different in our body. So, like, me having, even if we figured out a way to be, like, we definitely know this is 100 calories, I'm going to burn it differently than you're going to burn it. And so, and some of us, some of the calories don't, like, for instance, the calories in, like, a walnut, they don't get, like, our body doesn't take it in. Like, we don't, it's almost like it doesn't digest all of the calories. So, like, it's almost like those calories go through us. They don't like linger in us, right? And so when you really look at the facts, this isn't like spiritual woo-woo of like, oh, like, it just depends on what you feel like. No, it's literally just that we are all different. And so calories is an ineffective strategy. It's just like, it's just all fake. Like, if you want to waste your time, like learning information that's incorrect, like, follow calories. And then if we just want, like, more of a practical example to kind of, because all of this is about deprogramming and coming back to what feels true for you. So if all of that I said, but you're still like, it doesn't feel true. Okay. Can we think of someone that is, you know, slender and healthy, and we look at what she eats and we're like, she must eat a lot of calories. Like, that is insane. Mm-hmm. Like, we've all been there, especially, it, you know, as we were going through more of our disordered eating times where we've seen that, like, skinny bitch that's like eating, you know what I mean, that like super like high calorie food, and you're kind of like, excuse me,
you know what I mean? Yeah. What are you doing?
Right. And then we've also seen the person that is maybe a little bit in a larger body or whatever, and we're like, she barely eats, or like all she does is like eat low calorie or whatever it is. And so it's all because we're all unique, right? And so they've put people on low calorie diets. Some of them have gained weight. Some of them have lost weight. They put the people on high fat diets. Some people gain, some people lose. They put people on like low carb. You know, it's like, oh, okay. But we take a little piece of one of those studies and then we put it out there into the world. And then there's influencers that come in, and then they take a nugget of the nugget that was of the nugget of the nugget of the nugget. And then they're like, hi everyone, like, oh my god, so I like to eat low carb because it's XYZ and blah, blah, blah. And then there's a 16-year-old girl that's watching that's then like, oh, okay, I shouldn't have the potatoes. And that's where it begins, right? And then we have to eventually deprogram ourselves out of it. So it's like, just don't go down the calorie thing, and hopefully that helped. About calories.
No, but what I've noted, like, what I would say, like, thinking about all of what you said right now, the one thing I think, one really big thing that contributes to a lot of eating disorders is like the, how do you say the, because you often hear like, oh, an adult person should eat like about 2,000 calories a day, or I don't know, I really don't know the exact number right now, but
because you can't, basically.
But like, I don't know, this phrase, like, you should eat about this many calories a day, and as soon as you go over that, you're like, fuck, like, tomorrow I'll just eat less or something, so I won't go over the 2,000 calories. I've noticed that with myself when I had a bit of a disordered eating phase as well. And I think that's so fucked up, though. It's like, no one can tell you from society or from the wellness culture that you should eat this many, this many calories a day, because like you said, we're all unique. We all have different bodies. They all have different needs. So we shouldn't hold on to that one phrase that you should eat this much in one day, because no one can tell you how much you eat in one day. Like, you should know that yourself.
Yeah.
And so two things there. One is, you're using the word should, right? And whenever something's a should, it can't be a want, right? You can't want a should. And so as soon as something's a should, you need willpower to do it, right? And so I always say, drop the shoulds and let it come from a want, right? Even like, we now, you know, speaking not even just with food, like I see it with women that they're, oh no, but I should go for a walk, and I should do this, and I should do my journaling. And don't stop, right? Because let it go. And then guess what? You're going to want to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're cooped up and you're not walking, right? it's not about should. Don't should on yourself, right? We just stop. And it's like, and then guess what? Maybe 5 minutes from now, you're going to want to go for a walk. And then you can, right? And then you'll enjoy it. It'll come from this place of like love, right? And so you really do have to watch when you're, you know, shitting on yourself. And then the second part with, you know, the rules essentially of eating. And I always say rules of eating always lead to overeating, because it's always, you know, oh, well, okay, well then in this case, like I can have this amount of calories. And I see it, especially with women that have had any sort of like fitness training or whatever. It's, oh, but this fits my macro. So like, oh, but gotta have my smoothie after my workout, blah, blah, blah. You end up eating more, right? Like whenever there are rules of eating, you end up overeating. And so, you know, this isn't about like, oh, let's all just love ourselves and eat whatever we want and eat all the time. No. This is about you wait for hunger. And I don't care if your macros say you're under and you can eat more. If you're not hungry, you're not eating. Do you know what I mean? And I don't care you just went to the gym. Are you hungry? No, but I should because I need a muscle. But no. It's a myth. You wait until you're hungry. That hunger is a visceral sensation in the body that is cueing you that the that you have the digestive fluids ready to go. Essentially, your body is chemically prepared to digest food. And if that is not the case, it is unhealthy to eat. And I don't want that to come off as super dogmatic, because now there's intuitive eating coaches that are like, it's normal to sometimes overeat and like, it's normal to eat when you're not hungry and stuff like that. And I appreciate what they're saying, because they're trying to really like take us back to this place of like, you know, don't beat yourself up around things. Mm-hmm. But I don't tell my clients that. I don't want them to become comfortable with this idea of like, it's okay, don't worry. Sometimes we eat in the car, it's fine. Oh, don't worry. Sometimes you eat when you're not hungry, all good. No, like there's obviously something else going on there that like you're using food to soften the discomfort in your life, and you need to learn how to use something else that is more appropriate, because eating is appropriate to fuel the body when hungry. If that's not the case, there are other coping mechanisms in life that you should turn to, and it's not, we don't need food to fix everything in our in our life.
No, I agree. Sometimes like, I don't know what came to my head when you said that food should only be fuel and not kind of to satisfy our other needs or like emotional support. I really notice or think about sometimes when people eat out of boredom, or like when they're like really when they're sad or something, and then they really start like eating a lot. And I think that really makes sense, like instead of eating, you should do something else to kind of combat that. Or like when you're bored, like don't eat, like I don't know, go do something, or draw or eat or whatever, but not eat.
And not because I'm saying like, oh, because God forbid we get fat or anything like that. I'm saying it's because it's more appropriate. Like if you are feeling sad, is food going to fix that? No. Like it's going to maybe distract you from feeling sad for a little while. It's going to buffer, but then you're still going to be sad at the end, right? So what could we do instead? We could do something that helps make us a little bit less sad, right? Or we could feel the feeling of sadness so that it moves through, because emotions are really just energy in motion, right? If we just let them, you know, move. And so it's not because we're like, oh my God, like it's so bad to like eat out of bed. I'm saying it because I'm like, I want you to fix the problem, right? And it's like, we can either have a problem and then feel stuffed and heavy and gross, or we can have the problem and feel balanced. Either way, we've got the problem, right? So it's like, you might as well, you know, deal with the problem. And sometimes dealing with the problem is saying, I don't want to deal with the problem. I'm gonna procrastinate. That's powerful. That's way more powerful than going and having a donut, right? To be like, oh, I have a problem. I have no fucking clue how I'm going to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it today. But even that, like it gives you lightness. It's like, I've addressed that. I have no fucking clue. Right. Yeah. And like, but that's almost more awareness than being like, I'm just going to have a snack.
Yeah. I guess it always becomes a habit then.
Yeah.
Like then you're just like, oh, that made me feel good. Like at this and this time. So I'm just going to always do it, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting to see your approach on this as well, because I feel like there's always like so many opinions on different things, and sometimes I struggle to like know what I think for myself.
Yeah.
And I think everything you're saying, I'm like,
I'm resonating with
a lot. Yeah, yeah. Because, like, yeah, it's just, like, kind of hard to, like, sometimes find your path in, like, the whirlwind of, like, what you should, like you said, should, what you should eat, what you should do. And it's, like, sometimes I don't fucking know what's going on anymore.
No, but what I thought was really interesting was you saying, like, we should eat because our body is ready to, like, we should eat when we're hungry because our body is there and is ready to digest. And I think that's a really, really good approach, like, for food, is that, like, we should eat because our body is ready to digest and no other reason. And I really, really like that.
Not because, you know, you need to have 200 to 2,500, however many calories. Because here's the thing. If you ate, I don't know, like, even though calories are so, like, they're wrong, right? But let's say, let's just say you ate so much today, like, you, it's crazy, like, overate like crazy, right? Then it's not like, oh, tomorrow a new day, like, okay, like, let me get my 2000 calories, right? You might not be hungry yet, you might not be hungry for days. I've worked with women where they're like, Kiki, I don't get hungry, and they think that it's like, oh, like, Kiki, I have a new problem for you, like, fix it. I don't have hunger. And I'm like, interesting, right? I'm like, so wait. And they're like, no. Sometimes I go the whole day and I'm not hungry. And I'm like, okay, let's wait. Hunger always comes. But if you've been eating in excess for so long, for so many years, and you have a lot of excess storage, yeah, it might take a day. It might take two. Like, before, but eventually it will come. And so rather than being like, you know, what maybe other sort of wellness people on the internet, on the interweb might say, I'm just like, oh, well, it's organic. And, like, we're going to have these protein balls and they're, like, low carb and sugar free and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, she's not hungry. Don't give it to her. You know what I mean? Like, wait. So I think what can be sad around that is that we do find a lot of comfort and joy in food. And I'm not saying that food shouldn't be enjoyable. Of course, it's an enjoyable break from life. But if food is the only way that you're giving yourself a break or dopamine or joy, you need to figure your shit out and you need to go get more dopamine from other things, right? I'm not saying, like, oh, let's just work on you never feeling joy. Like, that's not the goal. The goal is, like, okay, well, how else can you find joy in your life? I know for me, when I was struggling, that was the only time, if I was eating, that was the only time, one, I could, like, stop doing work, other than maybe sleeping, or two, like, that I could actually give myself some pleasure, right? Because I was so like, oh no, I don't deserve pleasure. I don't enjoy it. You know, I would see people that, like, oh, I'm, like, going for movies, or like, oh, I just love, like, scrolling Pinterest. I'm like, how does that bitch have time? Like what? Like, what in you? Do you know what I mean? And because I was so like, everything is a means to an end. And so I had to turn to food because it was my only outlet to take a break, enjoy myself, whatever. And so then when that was taken away from me in the sense of, okay, wait, for hunger, I'm like, oh, I have to go hours without, like, joy or pleasure, or like, but I'm like, no, you don't, but you can get it from other things, right? And that's what, you know, oftentimes we have to open up to. It's like, where else can we seek dopamine? Because our body will get it, and it needs to. And so, you know, if you're only allowing food to fill that dopamine rush, then go find something else.
To be honest, like, I've just gotten so much out of, like, so much good advice from you, like, in this past few moments. I can speak for Teresa and me, probably. But I also wanted to ask you, like, as a one last question, if you look back on your journey, or, like, back at a younger version of yourself, what would one piece of advice be that you would tell that girl?
That's such a beautiful question. I would tell her a lot, but hopefully I would have, like, many. But I think I would just say, how should I put this? Almost like, don't worry, like, what you want isn't going to stab you in the back. Like, I think that when I was a child, I thought that the things that I wanted and the things that were going to make me feel good, I should either feel guilty about, or that are wrong, or that are somehow going to turn on me. And I think if I could just, like, tell her a truth, it would be like, what you want wants you back, and it's okay to want what you want, and it's only going to help you. Like, you feeling good isn't going to cause your whole life to fall apart. Because when I really look back, I think that deep down, that was the belief that I had. It was, mm-hmm. oh, if I just am happy and just do what I want, like things won't work. I won't get a job. I won't get married. I won't do the things that I have to do. So forget what I want. And let's just focus on getting everything done that will make everyone else happy. And so I think I would tell her, no, actually just doing whatever the fuck you want is actually going to serve all the good purposes in the end. So just have fun, girl. Enjoy yourself.
It's actually so cute. I was doing a meditation the other day and the woman, she actually said something similar. She was like, what you're seeking is seeking you.
Yeah.
And I think that really, like, it's kind of similar to what you said, like, what you want or, like, also want wants you. Mm. And, like, I think you can apply that to all areas in your life.
I think that's what everyone should tell themselves, like, now and in the past. It's, like, such a beautiful thing because I think we are very, like, prone to think that pleasure is not always, like, good for you. Like, you should work hard and then play, you know? Like, it's always, like, divided. And it's kind of sad because, like, work can also be fun. And, like, there's so many things, like, find fun in every, like, every day, and like wanting something is good, and like having fun is good, and like just embracing that as well. And I think, like you said, food is fun, and
life
is
supposed to be fun.
Yeah,
like life shouldn't be too serious. Like, also, what I kind of take away from all of this, I don't think thinking about food should take up all of the hours in our heads, or
it's
like
exhausting.
It's really exhausting, and thinking about it constantly and like, I don't know, as a girl, it's just so exhausting and it drains you from energy and actually takes the joy out of the things as well.
Yeah, it takes your time away from actually doing the things you love doing. And like you said, focusing on what actually is the problem or what actually like can give you joy. And I think that's one thing that I also take out. I mean, like you said, there's so many things that I could take away from this, like new approaches as well. Mm-hmm. But I think that's definitely one is like just chill, like chill and like listen to your body. And when you're hungry, you'll be hungry. And what you like, your body will also tell you what you need and what you want to eat in that moment. And that moment when I was in the grocery shop and I got the marshmallows, maybe wasn't that bad.
It was like, I want marshmallows.
Yeah, they're really good in hot chocolate. I mean, I don't like hot chocolate, but like, you know, the idea. Well, like, I don't know, just like, I don't know, like, yeah, I guess also maybe sometimes I do what you said. It's like the emotional eating of like, not emotional, but sometimes I'm stressed and then I have like sugar or like, and that's not necessarily bad in the sense, but like realizing that, and I think understanding what you say is really important. Like also what you said with the people you follow that preach diet culture, it's just always good to like be in the known about your body and what's going on and the facts and the science, and then you can decide for yourself, and like, it's a journey as well. Like, you'll not wake up one day and be like, I'm so awakened and like, I know everything about food and like, I'm perfect.
I'm an intuitive eater. Like, I know my shit. Like, it's a process and it's like a lot of learning. And like you said as well, deprogramming your mind. I think that's like one of the first steps that you should take, like detoxing, like you said, yourself from all of the things that you've heard, that you've seen, like, and starting from, like starting at square one where you really just listen to your body. Cause I think in the end, like all of our bodies, they're amazing. And your body always knows best. Like you also in the beginning, like the intuition and like, for example, when you meet someone and the energy's kind of off, it's like your gut literally telling you like, this is kind of weird, or it's a weird situation. I don't like this. And it, like I said, your body always knows best. So I think that should be like the number one, or like the preaching that we should do. Like your body knows best, no diet culture, no one else. Like it's just yourself.
Yeah. And the body, like it has just like the saying now, the universe has your back, right? It's like your body has your back. Like your body isn't like, let's make this person as unhealthy and fat and horrible as I possibly can. Like the body is perfectly healthy. We just have to accept it and surrender into it and accept that it does want to come back to equilibrium, right? It wants to come back to balance, right? And so, and even you had mentioned the example of like, oh, craving sugar, right? So instead of feeling like, oh, like, because when that happens, you're, oh my goodness, like I'm craving sugar all the time. Like, this is so bad. I'm going to go on a sugar detox, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, you go on Instagram and, you know, like Wendy's doing a 10-day sugar detox. I'm like, perfect, sign me up. Right. But instead, it's like, okay, well, let's look at the facts. Were you actually hungry? Because when you're hungry, like really actually hungry, are you going to be like, I would just love a brownie right now? Probably not. You're probably like, I would like some chicken and rice and broccoli. Do you know what I mean? Like, you probably want the like perfect macro meal when you're actually hungry, right? And so rather than demonize the food, actually find the truth in like, oh, you know what? I'm craving sugar because I'm going through emails right now and I'm totally stressed and I need like a dopamine hit, right? And so the first thing to ask yourself is, okay, am I hungry? You know what? I'm not. Okay. So what is it that I'm trying to, you know, soften the discomfort in my life right now with? Okay. Like it's food, but I'm not hungry. So that's not actually going to like be a good hit for me. So what am I going to do instead? I'm going to like go watch Netflix, or I'm going to go like for a little walk or do something else that's going to like give me that good feeling. And then, you know, when I'm hungry, if I would still like chocolate or sugar or whatever, I can have some, right? Mm. But you probably won't, right? Like oftentimes we want sugar, a little sweet something at the end of a meal, which is actually the perfect time for us to digest it. And you know what I mean? And so it's again, it's about getting like getting to the truth of the matter rather than subscribing to like, oh my God, I'm having sugar cravings. And then, you know, and then there's so many people that are super happy to take your money to be like, yeah, it's because you're addicted to sugar and you need a sugar. Right. And then you're like, oh my God, she gets me. Yeah, exactly. I've been craving sugar. This woman knows, right? And so, and then, you know, sugar, like 10 sugar cleanses later and you're still craving sugar. It's like, because it wasn't the sugar. So, yeah.
Sugar is not your enemy.
Yeah. It actually isn't. That's so cool. Oh my God, thank you so much. Yeah. I learned so much in this past hour or so.
Look at us. It's like we're like in the dark. Like, yeah.
We've learned so much. No, but honestly, like, I'm gonna always go back to this episode. Like, because I think just, I don't know, eating and food and stuff, it's sometimes very difficult, but I think you can make it like an easier approach if you unlearn everything you know.
And I guess having like a conversation like this already helps us to get more information and like get your word out there, and we'll definitely share it with our friends as well. And obviously everyone who listens, obviously I hope that they also took something away from it as much as we did. And I think you can always learn something new. And that's the beauty of doing this podcast, is having people on that give us a new perspective and new knowledge and getting to know you as well. It's so cool. Like, you're on the other side of the planet and like, yeah. And it's like, still we're sitting here and like chatting about sugar. It's like, I love this. Like,
So thank you so much for taking your time to chat with us. We had a lovely chat. And we hope that whoever listens to this episode could take away as much as we did. I loved it as well. So thank you again.
And have fun at the market. I think you're going to market right now, are you?
You know what? I was going to go to the market, but we are instead going to rent. We're going to rent bikes because we just found out like the roads near us are closed for Sunday mornings, and so we're going to rent some bikes and just bike around.
That's nice. Oh, I love that. What a Sunday. What a good Sunday morning start.
Yeah, we're just like in the night. Like.
But yes, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And whoever is listening, we hope you are having a beautiful time. And don't forget to be present. And we will see you in our next episode.
Also, don't forget to check Kiki's channel.
Yes. We will link her Instagram and everything in the in the description. Also on the Instagram post. So you can follow her and her good content and learn. Yes. And yes, we will see you next time.
Bye.